Legal or not, the war against ISIS carries on in Syria and elsewhere, and the fighting has radicalized people from many different walks of life. Now, Canadian Mubin Sheikh found his way to extremism in an earlier decade, but his journey is a lot like that of many young Muslim men in the West today. Sheikh says his upbringing in Toronto was pretty typical. Then at age 18, he had an identity crisis. So he traveled to Pakistan in 1995 on a mission to find himself.
It's the identity crisis that a lot of Muslim youth are facing. You know, the idea of belonging in society. How much of, you know, Islam do you manifest before it becomes, you know, not good enough for the society? So you're almost forced to choose. And so, you know, I wasn't bullied or picked on in high school. We were the cool kids. But I was shamed and guilt-tripped, you know, into feeling that, oh, I was such a bad person. So I tried to make right by going, you know, on a rebound almost. And you find this a lot with people who convert in prisons. You know, they're given this new, it's almost like a born-again experience. And so in that born-again experience, I went to Pakistan in 1995, met the Taliban, and until 2001, participated in, you know, this us versus them mentality.
You kind of mention meeting the Taliban as if it's an afterthought. Tell me about that. I mean, what did that show you?
Here I was from Canada. You know, I went to find myself. I go with a group who are staying in the mosques, and typical Canadian thing to do. I was just walking around trying to talk to the locals, see what's up. And I chanced upon these guys who are like sitting there armed to the teeth. Turbans, beards. And here I was like, yeah, I'm here to find myself and this and that. And they're saying, well, here we are. We're fighting this jihad. You know, jihad is the only way for Muslims to regain their, you know, their worth and value in the world. And I was like, okay, I became enamored. I thought here they were, these religious heroes from, you know, a romanticized Islamic age gone by.
How did that actually impact you when you were having that conversation with them?
I was with a local interpreter guy. I mean, I wasn't by myself, but even he was trying to kind of say, look, I could get from him, let's get out of here. But, you know, I was just enamored by them. They were, you know, heavily armed and they were just sitting there. And I thought, what the heck? Who are these people? You know, I didn't grow up with politics in my family life. So I didn't know who the Taliban were. Right?
But after that trip to Pakistan, you returned to Canada and politics are definitely in your life and you become more of an extremist. Yeah.
That's right. I started to become more aware of the geopolitical conflicts that rage, you know, in the world, the political grievances on which the vast majority of the, you know, so-called Islamist narrative is based. In 98, I got married. I married a convert, a girl that I knew from high school, Polish, and she converted, and we got married, and, you know, 18 years, 5 kids, you know, it's great still.
But at the same time, you were going through that process of recruiting other people.
Yeah, I didn't tell her, you know, who
oh, you
I
didn't.
Was hanging around with, right? So I had this double life almost that I felt like I was living.
Would she have left you if
oh,
she'd known?
She would have been out of the door fast, of course. So I went on a honeymoon to, you know, Saudi Arabia. I did the, you know, religious rituals in Mecca and Medina with my new wife. That kind of, you know, it softened me up a bit, if you will. And then when 9/11 happened, you know, that told me, wait a second, you know, I don't know my religion properly. I didn't know any Arabic. I hadn't studied Islam properly under scholars. And so I decided to do that. And, you know, I was going to go to Syria because Syria, you know, ancient.
And what year was that you went to Syria?
This is 2002, early 2002.
Right. So this is long before, a good decade before the war there and the uprising.
That's right.
Ironically, it was in Syria that you became de-radicalized, though. Explain what happened.
Right. So I went there thinking that, you know, this great war was going to happen. And of course, maybe I was 10 years too early. And I thank God that I didn't stay. You know, I was legit. I registered with my embassy. I wanted them to know exactly where I was, my wife and 2 kids. I was there to study. And I found a sheikh, you know, a Sufi sheikh who went through the verses of the Quran that I used to appeal to and say, look, you know, chapter 9, verse 5, you know, it says, kill them where you find them. And so he would say, well, do you normally begin reading from verse 5? You know, read verse 1. And read the verse right before it. This does not apply to those who did not break the treaty and who are not fighting you. So rather than it being some open license to kill just anyone who's not like you, It was in a very specific, you know, context. And so that Islamic teaching, proper Islamic teaching, is what got me out of it, that verse-by-verse debunking of the extremist narrative.
I mean, that sounds kind of academic. I understand this imam was a scholar, but what was it in that moment where you met him? What was his in his worldview that turned your thinking around? Because that's a big shift. That's 180.
So the credibility of the messenger himself, right? So this was a guy who, he smiled, you know, he smelled nice. He didn't need to berate me or insult me or like, because I was a complete fool. I didn't know any Arabic. You know, I had been reading from translations. I had been listening what people were telling me the Quran was saying. And here was a guy who, and he was very merciful and gentle in his approach. And that's really what I think, because these extremists, you see, they have a lot of pain in their life. It's angry, frustrated, you know, and they put all their energies into these violent means. But here was a guy who was saying, no, we are, you know, spiritual people. Like, there is a spirituality of Islam that you haven't even experienced.
If he had smiled or smelled nice and said, yeah, you're right, ISIS is the path to follow, would you have believed him?
Well, both of them look the same, big beards. They might be wearing, you know, robes and turbans or whatever. But what these people cannot do, ISIS and their company, is show verse by verse how they're right. They appeal to a general narrative that they expect everyone will believe in. We're the caliphate, you know, and Islam was spread by the sword. Yes, this is what they affirm, right? Whereas, you know, the vast majority of Muslims who are fighting them are saying, no, you know, you have nothing to do with Islamic practice. This is why I call them terrorists in Islamic costume. So I think I had the intellectual luxury of growing up in the West to be able to be receptive to these different things and then to eventually pick a side, in which, of course, I signed up with the government. I sided with Canada, yes.
Mubin Sheikh is the author of Undercover Jihadi. Great to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.